You found something. Okay. Okay. So we're two lines from the bottom, and we were discussing an unusual case where you get some fruit and you find money in there. The question is, do I have to call up the farm and say, hey, one of your guys lost his money? So Omrei Shlemeshu Rebbe Yair Lo Shana El Balkeach Min HaTager. You're allowed to keep it if you get it from the market. You get it from the merchant. As we turn to today's page, 27a.
The wholesaler.
Avo Lokeach Me Bala Bias. But if you got it directly from the person that grew it, you better give it back because it fell from him. And the reason that you can't give it, but you buy it, you go to Kroger, you're not going to be able to track down who put the money in there, who it fell out from. But if you actually know I went to this guy's garden and got it from him, then you got to give it back. That's if you bought it from the merchant, who knows where it came from, China, who knows. But if you get it from a private party, then you got to give back if you found his thing. So here's a question. Just because you went to the guy, you think the guy that you know, the owner, is the guy that picked it? He's got his illegal aliens picking it. He didn't pick it. He's not the one who dropped the... why would you be obligated to give it to him? Is it likely that... Basically, we're assuming that this had to have fallen in there from the person who was actively processing this wheat, this grain. So that worker, it fell out of the worker's thing. So we seem to say, well, if you get it from a merchant, then it could have come, anywhere. But if you get it from a private party, you should give it to him. But it's not likely to be him. It's likely to be, he didn't do it himself. This word deshem means to thresh it, which is like throw it up in the air and let the wind blow off the chaff. And I think you got to stomp on it. It's a very, it's an involved labor. Have you ever threshed anything? Or I think it's wheat where you got to thresh it. You got winnowing. Winnowing.
Actually, applying pressure to it, I think.
Yeah, the winnowing. So you think the owner or the Bala Bayis does the winnowing? So then he said, all right, I guess you're right. So Omer Le'asi Moy, should I erase it? In other words, we had this teaching that the Mishnah said that you could keep it. And the Gemara explains that's only when you buy it from the merchant or from the store. But if you get it from a private farmer who you know and you see money in there, you better give it back. But the Gemara says, well, wait a second. What are the chances that it came from him? It probably came from multiple... if you need lots of workers, it probably came from one of those workers. And good luck in finding them. So then he said, you're right, that's a good point. So maybe we should erase that teaching. Amalei lo, no, we hate to erase anything. Targum explained, it was somebody that one of his servants. So since they're Canaanite servants, if they dropped it, it's like he dropped it. So then you can give it back to him because so it comes out today, if you where you had your Mexicans or your workers do it, you wouldn't have to return it to him because he's not the one who likely lost it. It's probably one of the guys, and you'll never find exactly which guy dropped what where. But if he owned all of the workers, that would be different. Then when they dropped it, you'd give it back to him because he owns the workers. Okay, moving on. New Mishnah. Afa simla. So we've been talking about different objects, mostly like a vessel, like a kli, something that was made. But what about a garment? What if somebody loses their shirt, so to speak? You lose that in the stock market, I think. How's that go? All right. Person loses their shirt. A garment would be included in a lost object, and if you find it, it's got to be returned. Veloma yatsa. And the Torah actually gives it as an example. Why? Lahakish Allah to teach you my simlum yukadesh shvo simanim. Just like a garment. There's a way to tell exactly how it was made. It was homemade, and so you knew how you sewed it. You knew exactly what it looked like. Yeshlo tovin, and it's something that if people lose their garment, they go looking for it. I've called davar sheyesh bo simanim. you're obligated to return other things that are similar, that have a way to identify it. If you find cash, there's no way to identify it. If you find generic things, you can't identify it. Those things that you can identify similar to a garment. V'yeshlo tovin, and people want it. So then, chayav l'hachriz, you're obligated to put up a sign and announce you found it. Let's see Rashi. Stam simla. The average garment, yesh bo simen. I guess Rashi's bothered by, there are generic clothes too, but the average one has some kind of indication. The kol simel yesh lo bailim, and somebody was wearing this, tovin oso, shalonasa el bidei adam, this was made by a human, it's not going to fall from the heavens. You know, something that you think might have just, you know, fallen from somewhere, you don't have to announce it, you found it. It came from Hefker, whoever Hefker is. But it came, you know, some things you just find. But your garment actually was made by a person, so you got to announce it. If you know for a fact that the owner gave up hope. So I think going back to the worker, you know, if the worker was working on lots of different food, and if similar to where he's in the sand, where you lose money in the sand, you're just not going to find it. You know, it's just a person is threshing tons and tons of food. He's going to, and it's already off to market. He's not going to know, you know, where the money fell. Okay. Yeah.
If it's an old torn shirt, then nobody really wants it. Maybe you don't have to return. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah. So I guess the word simla, right, the Mishnah seems to say, is something that people want. But you're saying,
Why would you say that? I mean, everything is subjective. The certain person like loves this shirt. He's had it for 30 years. He wears it twice a week, and it feels very comfortable. And you may consider it old and torn, but to him, that's his favorite shirt. I would say that that's a simon. You could say, look, on the sleeve, it has a hole here, and on the left side, it's missing a button. I wouldn't say that.
Okay, that's an interesting point. Yeah, the question is, how would we know that a person isn't looking for it? That's really, the thing is that you know, today I mentioned by the coffee station, they had that yarmulke there. I thought, the guy's not going to be looking for his yarmulke, but who knows, maybe that's his favorite yarmulke. But as long as you could figure that somebody's likely to be looking for it, then you have a mitzvah to announce it. That's the
you have. And it also says kol davar sheyesh bo simanim. Could be a rag to me, but if it's got a simon, kol.
Rav Avram is bringing a proof to you, Richard, though. He's saying that he's saying yesh lo tov. In other words, that's a good point. That's a good diak. In other words,
I wouldn't have thought it because as Rebbe originally was teaching, but you could see the argument over there.
Right. To some people, that's what they. So you have to announce it because there are some that would be missing this, even if not everybody. There are those that would say, "Good riddance, you know, I'll get a new one." So, okay, let's see the Gemara. My bechlal kolelu. What does it mean? This term that it's included in the general rule. What general rule? So now we're going to get the beginning of the laws of lost objects. Omar Rav bechlal. The pasuk says like this. Kol avedus achicha, all of the lost objects of your brother, anything that your fellow Jew loses. Omar Rava, lamali dekaser man ashur. So actually, the Torah is unusually wordy over here. The Torah doesn't waste a word, and it gives a few examples. It says, if your neighbor loses their ox, their donkey, chamor, their sheep, visimla, and their garment. So our Mishnah is just coming in with the garment. But actually, why does the Torah mention all those things? So the Gemara answers, Shricha. Actually, we need them all. Why? Because Ramana Simla had the Torah only written the garment, having not made by Edim, the Gufa, Vistimanim, the Gufa. You know, the garment you can identify by the way the garment itself looks. People can tell you how it was made, and there are signs exactly the size, the measure, the way it was stitched. Aval Chamor, but when you come to a donkey, they all look alike to you, the donkey. The way you identify the donkey is a da'okif, is with the saddle. This saddle, it's this color saddle, the simanim da'okif, and this is what the saddle looked like. So I would have said, since you can't actually tell the donkey itself, you're talking about what's on the donkey, maybe you don't have to give it back. In other words, where you, the item itself you can identify, you give it back. But if it's just the donkey where you're mostly identifying, I would have thought maybe, you know, the it has long ears, you know, or whatever, you could tell.
That's from the owner's perspective.
Right.
The person that finds, they all look the
they
same.
All look the same, probably so.
I can see my donkey. She's with five of the four of the donkeys.
You know, she's her, yeah.
And then everybody else, they look at the huge.
You say, how can you tell? They all look alike to me. So, but the saddle would be the way. Kaser Rechmanu Chamor, the Torah writes the word donkey, Dafilu Chamor B'Simono Okim. It's interesting. It doesn't say the donkey with the saddle, but the Torah wrote the extra word to tell you that that's one of those things that you better return. And so, and now, just like the other things, someone's going to ask you, how do I know it's yours? Well, you say, this is the kind of saddle that was on it. The said accustomed, well, what about the sheep?
They go part and parcel, right? The saddle and the donkey?
Yeah, that's right. I guess they always had the saddle on the donkey. And why does it say the saddle? And what about, it says sheep and it says ox. Why do you need all those? So the Gemara said, Dafila legizas navo. It's coming to teach you that the ox, even for the ox tail, and the sheep for its shearings. Now, apparently the ox has a tail. Let's look in Tosfos. Down at the bottom on the oxtail, legizas navo, for the shearing of the oxtail. In other words, if you found your neighbor's ox and you had to shear the tail, you'll have to give him the value of that tail back as well. Bim Talmar, Tosus says, wait a second, how much is the shearing of an oxtail worth? It sounds like magic or something, you know, a little piece of oxtail. Bim Talmar, imesh bo sheva pruta pshita. Well, if the oxtail has a value, of course you got to give it back. The imenbo sheva pruta, and if it doesn't have a value, hamamtin lekaman mashaba, you don't have to return something less than a penny. So what's our Gemara saying that the Torah mentions an ox to tell you you even got to give the shearings of the oxtail? Yeshom ischachayv legozazo beito. It's coming to tell you that you're obligated to groom the animal. When the oxtail gets too heavy, if you haven't found the owner yet, you better cut it. Afa pisha ein bo sheva pruta, even though right now it's not worth very much, but if you keep on cutting it again, I guess it'll grow a nice oxtail. Are you familiar with that anyway?
So the only thing, Rabbi Asa likes me to get, the hairs are phenomenally long, a foot long, and he uses those to tie the mezuzah. Scroll on mezuzah.
Really? Okay.
I never heard of this before either, but he, so...
Were you able to get it for him?
I have
once.
It's hard.
The doctor from a farm? Oh, no, here we're talking about...
An ox, yeah.
Yeah, a kosher animal, okay.
Yeah, mine's a cow. Yeah, mine are cows, but I was shocked at how long the hairs were.
You wouldn't notice it or whatever.
So there must be some other use for these things.
Yeah, for these things, yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah. So then the Gemara says, well, wait a second. If I know you got to give the shearings of the sheep, but if you have to give even the oxtails, velikta rachmana, sure, let the Torah write that you got to give the little sheep. I mean, the ox, you don't get to shear much. All you get is the tail. And if I know that you're obligated to return that, dafil legiza sanvo, even to shear the tail, kol shekein sadla, certainly you got the whole, all that wool you're going to have to give back. So that can't we don't need both. So we're back to the drawing board. Elo Marabba Chamor the board Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara answers. Actually, you discovered some. There are two mysteries. Yeah. The Gemara seems to have an answer for everything. You know, there's the idea if you're in the base medrash, you know, throw something at somebody, you'll know something, right? So he says that there are two things in this discussion that they didn't resolve. He said one is the why it mentions a donkey in the pit. This goes back to Baba Kama, where things fall into the hole. So why, if you know that other animal, the horse, the cow, so why does it have to mention the donkey falling in the pit? So Chamor Debor L'Rabbi Yehuda, so that was one of the mysteries. That wasn't fully resolved. He says so why is that needed? And the other mystery was, why does it have to mention the sheep by the lost objects? L'Divrei HaKol Kasha. So Gemara said, you're right, those two are mysteries. in the base medrash. Those were two words that we didn't know how to darshan. I the emela glolin with us. Well, maybe you got to return the dung. In other words, you found your neighbor's cow, you give back the dung. In those days, the dung was valuable. It was fertilizer, was fuel, was other things. So if you have a lost cow for three weeks, you're going to have to return the dung with it. Maybe that's why it's coming to tell you, not only do you got to give back. So you're right. We would know you got to give back the shearings because you got it needed to mention it by one that you give back the shearings. You'll know by the others. But you wouldn't know. Only the cow has this really good dung. So that's why it has to mention it. So the Gemara says, Glole mafgure mafgule. That already the owner gives up hope. He's not counting on somebody to give him every single piece of dung that since he lost his cow. I don't know if it's too much work or too much effort or it's just not expected. Person already, okay, you know, he's lost his donkey. He's not expected to get, well, this was the morning donkey and the first morning bathroom and the second evening bathroom of the donkey and this was the first day and the second day. Can you imagine trying to keep track of all those dungs and put it together? He says, no, the owner gave up hope. So the Gemara said, V'dim l'samanim hu da'asi. Well, maybe it comes to teach you that you give something back because you can identify it. D'i boiler, that was one of the famous questions. Samanim de'raisa de'rabanan. We don't know, is that mina Torah that if you can identify it, you can you're required to announce it and give it back? Chaser mana said that if you lose samanim adrinim. Maybe that's the reason why it mentions sheep. If you can tell me what that sheep looks like, I'll give it back. With samanim de'raisa. In other words, we were looking for an extra source to tell you that if you can identify it, maybe that's coming. Maybe that's why it mentions sheep. So the Gemara answered, "I make tani lutani simanim." Since it says tani lisimanim gabe simla, it mentions signs not by the sheep. It already mentions signs by the garment. In other words, when we talk about identifying features, the Mishnah seems to say that's learned out from the simla part, not from the sap part. What's unique about a garment is it has, I think also, see, since you made the garment, you can tell exactly. The sheep, maybe it has signs, but you might not have noticed them because you didn't weave it, you didn't measure it, you didn't put it out. So the example is really the garment. You got to give back. So what do you see? So the Gemara says, clearly, it's the simla that to tell you samanim, not the sa. So the Gemara, it's interesting because we, you know, like I said, the Gemara always has an answer. The Gemara is saying, we're really not sure what sa teaches you in that mix, what the sheep tells you. We have all the other things. Each one had something unique, but we're not sure what why it mentions sa. Then Rabbanan, our rabbis learned, Asher Tovin, that you lost Prat Lavedish Ein Bo Sheva Pruta. It comes to exclude, it's something, asher, that you lost, it's something of value. Then you're obligated to return it. If it has no value, you don't have to return something that's less than a penny. Hey, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Mitzasa, he says, you found something. A Mitzia, you don't say, I found something if you find half a penny. Prat Lavedish Ein Bo Sheva Pruta. So again, one of them focuses on that you lost. It has to be a value, less than a Sheva Pruta, you don't have to return. And one focuses on what the guy found, it's got to be a Sheva Pruta. My Benayu, what's the difference between the two? Which part you learn from? Either way, that lost object has to have value. Amar Abai, Mashmos Dor Shanika Benayu. You're right. There is no difference. It's just a question of which part of the Pasuk you learn. Mar Nafkile Masher Tovan, one learns from that was lost has to be a value. Mar Nafkile Mitzasa, that was found, lost and found, right? It's all the same. Well, if you use one, Mashmos Darshan is which part of the Pasuk do you use? So if you used part the first part, what do you learn from the second part? So the Gemara said, that's no problem. We need that for something else. Mi boile likidi rivnoi. There's a ravina. This is the rivnoi. What rivnoi taught, don't rivnoi, mitzasad asleani mashma. You only get... you're only obligated to return it if it made its way to your hand. If it's in your hand, then I might have thought, actually the pasuk is telling you that to your brother, if you, it's in your hand, you have to return it, but if it's not your brother, you don't have to. But I'm on the part that it's not your brother, you don't have to, I would have thought that's if you didn't pick it up. Maybe for a goy. You don't have to pick it up. You don't have to get the sheep and feed it and take care of it. And but if it's in your hand, maybe for the goy you have to. So he says, we learn that from Mitziyasa, the Asal Yada Mashma, that it's coming to tell you that even if you picked it up, you don't have to return it to the Einu Yehudi, to the goy. Rashi, the Asal Yada Mashma, it's about 9 lines up on the left side. I always like to show Rashi so I didn't make this up. Only your brother do you have to return, even if you picked up the non-Jew's lost object. And it comes to tell you that the Aveda of the pagan is permitted. I would have thought, all right, I don't have to go chasing after this lost animal. Maybe the Torah doesn't say, for your brother, you got to go chase his lost animal. But for the pagan, you don't. But maybe if you actually have it, you should give it back. So we say, umetzasa, no, only even when it's in your hand, you don't got to give it back. That's what we see from that word. And according to the one who says, we use that to tell you it's got to be a shevapruto, what does he do with that you lost? He has a teaching he can use that for too. What's that, Rev Yochanan? Omar Rev Yochanan Mishum Shim Ben Yochai, first wide line. Menayin Levei Deshishat V'Nar Shim Muteres. How do I know if the water washes away people's things, you can keep them? Shinemri Kain Tasakol Reza Gishat Tovin Men. So you will do with anything that's lost to somebody that's lost from him and you found it. Mi Sha'avuda Haimanu. If it was lost from him and somebody else is going to find it, so you're obligated to be a finder. But when it goes in the water, it's not only lost to you, it's lost to everybody. Something that's lost to everybody and you happen to find, you can keep. It's something that's lost and somebody's going to find it, so you have a mitzvah to be the one that finds it and gives it back. But if it's lost in a way that it might be lost to everybody in the water, then you can keep it. That's the drash. The Edah, how does the other one know that drash? Hayder Rav Noyman Ale. He says he can learn it. There's an extra vav. Mi mematzasa. What does the other rabbi do with that vav? Hayder Rav Yemen. Nafki mi menu. How does he know that teaching? He doesn't explain what he does with the vav, but how does he know that the teaching that it has to, it's only when it's lost from him? So he learns that from the word rimenu, from him. Why didn't the other rabbi learn rimenu? Lo mashmaleh, he didn't darshan that. So we went back and forth between the two opinions, how they know these various halachas and what they darshan the pasuk. Rava says, I'll tell you what he uses to teach you. What about if you find it and it got cheaper? It used to be worth something, but now it got cheaper. Pruta shehuslo, ikamenau. If you say when he lost it, it was worth a pruta, so even though it's not worth as much now, you still got to return it because you look at when he lost it. And if you look at when he found it, well, if when you found it, it was worth less than a penny, forget it, leka. This is an interesting concept. I was looking at that yarmulke, like, do you really have to return a yarmulke? Like, is it so valuable? Like, most people, I have a few yarmulkes. Actually, the kids' yarmulkes sometimes are more expensive. I know when they lose those, they go looking for them because they kids lose them everywhere. But he says, well, what if when you lost it, it was worth more, but now it's worth less? Does it go by when it was lost or does it go by when it was found? That's what we're trying. I was thinking more, a lot of times people, they leave on the table here with some shalach manos. Oh, it's still here. So... did anybody return it? Yeah, I think there's even a name on it. Is he looking for it? Or is every so what if it was a pastry? So when it was lost, it had value. It was fresh. But, 3 days later, who's looking for an old homintosh? It's not worth a shevapruta. So if it goes by when it was lost, it was a shevapruta. So maybe you're obligated to give it back. It has to have some value today. I don't know if an old homintosh has some value or not. But if it has some value, so even less than a shevet pruta, you're obligated to return it because it goes by the losing. Or no, it goes to when I got it, it was worth, who, you know, it's not worth anything. No, it's worth less than a shevet pruta now, this old stale homintosh. So maybe not.
A month later, it'll be worth nothing.
Correct, that's right. They'll pay you to get rid of it, that's right. Uleman diomar asher tovet ha'be'inu mitzah. So you got to find it first, Oleka. Ella Pruta Lemora says, you're right, maybe at first it was worth more. What if it becomes worth more? Man Yom Ramitzah, so, well, when you found it, it was worth more. What about when he lost it, it wasn't so valuable, and now it went up in price? Umand, I have to come up with an example of that. The Homintash was kind of easy. That's going to go, every moment it's worth less. They can't give this stuff away at some point, right? But what about if it goes up in value? Okay, and the gold prices went up. Okay, so Manda Asher Tova, when he lost it, it wasn't worth anything. Well, Manda Mitzasa, when you found it, Habini Asher Tova, it's got to be that when he lost it, Ela Pruta Shehukru Huzlova Chazru. What if it was worth more, and then it was worth less, and then it was worth more? Manda Asher Tova, well, he lost it, it was worth something, and Manda Mitzasa, and when you found it, it was worth. It was just in the middle that it was worth the Ispe Shir Mitzia Mishasa Veda. It's got to be worth something the whole time. Sometimes you lose it, and then, well, what if
so
it takes...
Once it drops down below shevet pruta, then...
You don't have to return it, right, that's right. What about, let's say it's an animal, and you've got to, like, feed the animal, and so you're going to give the guy a bill when he, you know, I've been taking care of your animal, and this has been the cost, and at some point, it's not going to be worth so much, because it's going to cost so much to take care of it until you can give it back. So that's part of this question...
It's not a tripod. That's exactly right. I spent way more on an animal hospital than the animal was worth. Uh-huh. It wasn't something that I found, though. It's different. Uh-huh.
Okay, next question. Iboilu, this question we've thrown out before, which is this concept of the Mishnah that you can identify something by describing it. Is that mentioned in the Torah? Is that a Torah halacha? Or is that... a business kind of thing that the rabbis came up with for just for buying and selling or objects. He boy simin the rice to rabban. Is that a Torah halacha or a rabbinic halacha? My nafkamina. What's the difference? Laduri get isha bisimanim. You have a messenger delivering a divorce and he dropped it, and he comes back and he can describe the divorce as such and such a person, such and such a thing. If you want to say Mina Torah, you're obligated to give something back if he can describe it. So you can give him back the get, and then this get can be used to divorce a woman. Yeah, Mr. Rabbanan, but if you're going to say really Mina Torah, you can keep it. And it's not his. And the describing of it isn't enough to give it back. The rabbis instituted, that's enough that he lost his money. He describes it, you can give it back. Avo be isura, but to be used to divorce the woman, maybe we don't take any chances. Lo avi rabbanan takanta. Maybe a siman is not enough for a divorce. So, in other words, it's one thing to say that for monetary rules, a guy loses money. He describes it, you can give it back. But what about for laws of isur veheter? So, tashma, come in here. Af simla, garment is included. V'lama yatso, why does the Torah mention it? Lahakish, to teach you. Lo malach ma'isim yuchad is just like a garment is unique, sheshul simani, that you can identify it, v'yeshul tov, and somebody's looking for it. Chayiv lach, you got to give it back. Af kol davar shesh, anything that can be identified, v'yeshul tov, and there are people looking for it, you got to give back. So, doesn't that teach us that simanim are min haTorah? Doesn't our Mishnah, our Mishnah is saying that you identify the garment. Isn't our Mishnah saying that Min haTorah, if you identify it, you return it? So the Gemara answered, maybe that's not the focus of our Mishnah. Tani Tovin. The Mishnah is trying to tell you somebody's got to be looking for it. It's strictly. It mentioned Simanim. Yeah, we threw that in. Kedei Naspa. So even though the Mishnah mentioned Simanim, maybe that's not the main point of the Mishnah. We want to know, is Simanim in Araisa? We said, well, the Mishnah mentions it. Well, maybe the Mishnah just threw that in as a detail, but really, because Tovin is the main thing. Somebody's got to be looking for it. We mentioned before, less than the shevet pruta, they're not looking for it. They the dung, they're not looking for. If they're not looking for it, you don't got to give it back. But really, simanim, maybe that's not minatora. So, tashma, chamor b'simani ukev. We said you return the donkey with the simanim of the saddle. Ema be'ede ukev. Who said it's the simanim? Maybe it's witnesses that know that this is his. Tashma, let's try again.
Yeah, what if you find a donkey with no saddle on it?
So then you wouldn't be able to identify it, I guess, if there's no... What if you find something of value, but there's no way to... So that's like cash. If you find cash that there's no way to identify the owner to the owner, then you wouldn't have to give it back. Toshma. So Michael was saying that the owner usually could tell you his animal.
But that doesn't do any the finder any good.
Well, what if you can...
How's the finder going to be able to distinguish between one donkey from another?
That's true. But the owner will tell you, go check the ears or go check it's got a certain spot under the, this. I wonder what that would.
Rabbi Stein?
Yeah.
Why don't we talk about where, like, the makom where it was found?
Well, there were two opinions whether makom was good or not, whether that's a good simon.
The makom is found. Yeah. I mean,
well, these are things that move. When things move, like, the makom isn't...
No, I know, but I lost this donkey at this location on this day and at this time.
But that's the owner. That's not the finder.
But...
So the finder makes note of it, and the owner then gives that as a simon.
So I guess we need to look into makom a little more. Is it in general, like, how big of a place... Or is it very specific, like, I found it in, in this barn, in this...
Animal is not staying in one place. An object, makom, that's... The object is not going to get up and walk away from where it was.
So where you put it, I found it over here, so that proves that you're the owner. But it'd be much harder to prove... So Richard was saying, well, but in the overall area, but I guess it depends on the, if you don't usually find an animal in that place, or it's the only one tied up, or tied up is different if it's hitched there. But we want a proof that that we consider these signs minatora. So toshma. I would say that if we don't consider an identifying feature, certainly we wouldn't consider a place. We're talking about the whole concept of being able to... are you required if he can tell you what it looks like? So, Toshma, Chamor b'siman ukev. So we said, no, that might be talking about witnesses. Toshma, Vayimka dor shekicha oso. You'll hold on to it until he comes looking. V'kitala adai tshishitno kodem shirishtenu. Well, wait a second. If he's not looking, how would you know who to give it to? So that's obvious. Ela dorshe was coming to teach you another halacha, that you can't just give it to anybody who asks for it. Dorsheyu umrabahu oenu rabba. You're required to make sure that he's not a crook, that the guy really did lose it. How will you know if he really lost it? My lab b'simanim. That means that if he can positively identify it as his. You see, he's not a crook. He's not just asking you to give it to him. He's proving that he knows something about it. So we see simanim work or minatora. The Gemara said, no, maybe it means be'edim. He can bring witnesses that this is his. So, toshma. So far, we haven't proven for a fact that simanim are the kicker. Tashema imidnela pirtzapanim. So one of the this comes up often is the where a person a woman loses a husband and she wants to remarry, but she doesn't have the body, so she goes looking for soldiers that may have seen the husband die and who could testify that he died. So. When they say that they saw him die, how do they know it was him? What exactly did they see? Well, he was wearing an army uniform. Well, they're all wearing army uniforms. What is it that he... So they have to be able to testify that they saw the face. Ein me'idin el al pirtzeh panim imachotim, with that nose. I saw that nose. Alpha pishyesh shemanim begufo bekelah. Well, why do they have to see the nose? Why can't they identify it by the clothing? Shmami, now simanu lav deraisa. You see, the clothing isn't going to do the trick. It's got to be the facial features. So our real question is, these signs are not strong indications. They're it looks like this, it looks like that. How do we know that's enough?
Is it because his clothes were the same as everybody else's if he was at the army?
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, that's what it's going to say. Yes. Yeah, so Ami, the Gemara, in fact, says, why can't you tell by the body? The Gemara says, Gufo de Orek Vagut. He's taller, he's short. That's not going to tell you anything. Kalev, and he says, the Vesa, Chashin L'Shaila. Sometimes people loan it to somebody. Someone borrowed his coat. So the Gemara says, well, if you're worried about loans, Chashin L'Shaila, Chamor B'Sin Mokav, how do you return a donkey because of the saddle? Hey, Kamadrina, maybe you borrowed the saddle. The Gemara says, Ami Ukav Lo Shol Inshi. That's if people don't loan the donkey saddle, Mishun De Maskev Le Lechamra, because it'll scratch the donkey. The leather forms to the form of the animal's back. And so if you give it to a different donkey, it's not a good idea. It's going to be rough. It's going to, so Eboy Seima Kele B'Chaveri B'Sumki. Or maybe he just means the color. Black and white, everybody wear or green. You know, that you can't tell by the color. But basically, what we're trying to say, there's a certain kind of siman that everybody agrees, minatora, that's only this person would have. And then there's a certain kind of siman that is just like a guess that they all have. That doesn't prove. Our question is kind of this in-between indication. How do you know that's enough? El hadatanya matza kasher b'kis. We said if it's tied to the wallet of Baranakiu Batabas, Oshimotsa Ben Kalev, or you find it with your other things, even after a long time, it's kosher. This is talking about food. And if you're worried that people loan things away, even if it's tied to the wallet of my kosher, Nikash Lashayla, maybe it's loaned out. This case over here, where it's all basically the siman is because it's tied together. But if people loan stuff, and so what does it tell you that it's together with these things? These things might have been loaned. So the Gemara says a famous concept: kis va'arniki v'tabas. There are certain things people don't loan out, and they are their wallet, their purse, and their ring. Lo mashal inshi. Those are typically not loaned. So if you find it, just ask Tamar. She proved that, you know, that whoever these belong to, well, maybe he loaned them to somebody. Someone else was going on the night of the town and said, Yehuda, can I borrow your stick? No, people don't loan out those kind of things. That's why. So what is the reason they don't loan out those kind of things? So Lomashi Kish for Arniki. So the reason is you don't loan your wallet or your money purse, Mishum de Misamni. That's, it's not a good, people are superstitious. And there's a superstition, like it's like giving away your wealth. Rashi says, like it's like I'm giving away my mazel. So people typically won't loan those. So you're not if you find it, it clearly it belongs to him. And what about the ring? Mishum de mizuyef, because then that's like giving your signature that they'll forge, and so that's why those are not typically loaned. So the question we all want to know. Tosus has over here, which is we don't believe in hocus pocus. That's a goyish thing. We're not supposed to be superstitious. Oh, we ran out of time. Okay. Tosus says, I don't know how to interpret Tosus' answer. I have a theory, but I have to work on it. That is a question: are you allowed to be superstitious? Or is that hocus pocus, and that's what the goyim do? Back to the Gemara. We can go 2-3 minutes over. I'm sorry, I don't want to get too far. Lema katanoi. Maybe this is an earlier debate. Getting back to our question, which is this: these types of identifying features, which are not total slam dunk, but they are somewhat indicative that it belongs to you. How do we know Minotaurah it works? Maybe this actually was an earlier argument. What about if you see a birthmark on the person? We saw today, they'd say like the tattoo. You testify on, can you testify about that? Elazar ben Mava, actually, maybe a tattoo is worse because a lot of people get the same one, but a birthmark, I guess you'd have to be a doctor to tell one birthmark from the other. Oh, you know, I saw the way that, because to me, they all look, oh, this guy has a birthmark. Well, but anyway, what about, can you testify? Well, those men of them, you could. So what's the machlokas? Maybe this is the argument. It's only rabbinic. It's a lot of people have birthmark. Elazar ben Avraham says, no, simanim deraisa. That's enough of a proof. So this debate that we're having, maybe that's the earlier debate about the birthmark. Amar Rava, no, Kul Alma, everybody could agree that identifying feature in the Torah. V'halcha b'shum mitzvah ben gilu kamifugi. There's a concept, what do they call it, doppelganger or something? There's a word for, the person has a twin out there. Sometimes a person has somebody. You discover this if you travel a little bit, like to other shuls. You'll see a guy and you'll think, oh, that's so and so. And then he turns around and he looks different. But he has certain mannerisms that are just like somebody you know, right? So the question is, could somebody even have the same birthmark? So Marsavar Shumitsuya Ben Gil, somebody born under the same star, somebody that has that same look, might have that same birthmark. Marsav, oh come on, Shuma ain't Mitsuya Ben Gil, it's not. So our question is, that somebody sees a birthmark on a dead body, is that, you know, I don't know, I look at the Israeli soldiers that are killed, and I to me they look familiar, you know. I never met them, never saw them, they look like our kids, you know. If there's a birthmark, would it be expected that they have the same birthmark? Or no, that's an, or kuliyama shuma enimitsu, no, come on. What are you talking about? It's one thing to say they look similar. They're going to have the same birthmark? There's a different question here. It's really another issue. After people die, the birthmarks don't look the same. They change after they die. No, they don't change that much. Or maybe they don't change that much. And really, it's only the Rabbanin. What we were saying is the middle range. In other words, everybody agrees there's something that's a slam dunk identification. Everybody agrees there are certain things, black and white or green, that are not such. But what about the middle range? The question is a birthmark a total good thing, or is it just average? Mar Sever Shuma Simen, no, it's an excellent identification. The other one says, no, it's not such a Simen Muvaku. Okay, we will stop here at Omar Rava. Have a great day, everybody.